I enjoyed that, didn't you? Appreciate all of our special singing this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. Then I'm going to read John 19, verse 17 and 18. The title of the message this morning is Behold, the Lamb of God. It says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Then in chapter 19, verse 17 and 18, And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Early in John's gospel, he identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who came in order that he might take away the sin of all the world. Now these words come to fruition near the end of his gospel when he tells us of the death of Jesus Christ by crucifixion on an old rugged cross. This is the story of all stories this morning. In this story, man's greatest possible need is met. And in this story, the greatest possible price is paid, resulting in the greatest possible outcome. The earthly story of God's crucified Lamb begins, of course, with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Mary had her little lamb in a stable in Bethlehem. It was not incidental, nor was it accidental, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a little village about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem was the hometown of David, the great king, and it was the place where Jesus was born. And I think it simply shows to us that Jesus is David's greater son. He is Israel's promised Messiah. But I think it's also very fitting this morning that Mary's lamb would be born in Bethlehem, because for centuries, the Jewish priest had been raising lamb for the Jewish Passover there outside of Bethlehem. The shepherds in those fields outside of Bethlehem who learned of Jesus' birth that night were watching over a very special breed of sacrificial lambs. These lambs were being raised and nurtured for just one purpose, and that is to be perfect. To be without spot, to be without any blemish, and thus qualify to be the Passover lamb. There in Bethlehem, God's perfect lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. The destiny of this world is wrapped up in Jesus because he is the Lamb of God who would soon be crucified, but he did it all in order that he might redeem fallen man. God's plan of redemption is being fulfilled. According to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, through the foreknowledge of God, he looked out into the future, and he saw a fallen race that was in need of redemption. And because of his awesome attributes such as love, mercy, and grace, he determined that he would do something about that need. The question is, was he right? Yes, he was right. He is always right. Shortly after the creation, the Bible tells us that Adam disobeyed God and plunged the human race into sin. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 5:19, For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, and that is God's crucified Lamb, shall many be made righteous. You see, God's crucified Lamb is exactly, and I think clearly seen in prophecy in the book of Exodus, where the Israelites needed to be redeemed from the hand of Pharaoh. And his was a hard hand of bondage for the children of Israel. And God not only wanted to redeem them, but to bring them back to their own land. And when the time was right, about 400 years had passed, they went in as a family, and they came out as a nation of around 2 million people. And so when the time was right, God put into action his plan in order to redeem his children. The plan was wrapped up in the sacrifice of a little lamb. And thus we see the lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in prophecy. God gave specific instruction to the Israelites. On the 10th day of the month, each household was to choose a lamb, and they were to keep it penned up until the 14th day. And then the lamb was to be a lamb of the first year, a lamb without any spot or any blemish. One flaw would disqualify the lamb. You see, a cut or a scar or a blemish of any kind meant that this lamb could not be used. It just simply reminds me that God requires the best. Now, the lamb without blemish was to be slain. In fact, the father of an Israelite family would lift back the head of that little lamb and cut its throat with a swift and merciful cut and catch the blood in a basin. I have read that a lamb is so much different from cattle when it comes to dying. If you were to cut the throat of a cow or a bull, you would have a fight on your hands. But not so with a lamb. The meek little lamb lays his head back in submission without a fight. And then the blood of that slain lamb, one without blemish and spot, was to be put on the doorpost. As long as the residents of any Israelite house obeyed God and his command, and they posted that blood of the lamb on the dwelling, as long as they stayed inside the house that night under the protection of the blood, they were safe from the hand of God's death angel that was going to pass through Israel that night. Well, God's promise of deliverance was this: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Isn't that tremendous this morning? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm telling you this morning, when you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that blood of the Lord Jesus is mystically applied to your life by faith, then God looks at our life, and because we have the blood applied to our life, we are safe and we're secure in him. Now, God's promise of deliverance is when I see the blood. Sure enough, the death angel passed by at midnight that night, and God sent his death angel, the firstborn of every household in the land died that night, except those that were under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, they overcame Egypt not by weapons of war, but by the blood of God's specified lamb. And I wonder this morning, is God trying to tell us something? I believe that he is this morning. The lamb who is being portrayed in prophecy will become and has become a fact in history. You see, in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came robed in human flesh, the great God of heaven, and he came in order that he might minister to us by meeting the needs that we could not meet ourselves. He came in order that he might be our redeemer and pay the price for our sins. Does Jesus Christ measure up to be the lamb that taketh away the sin of all the world? And we'd all agree, yes, he does. Jesus Christ meets every iota of God's requirement for redemption. I'm glad he loved us. Jesus Christ was, number one, the spotless Lamb of God. It says in 1 Peter 1:19 that without blemish and without spot, Andrew and John realized that he was a special lamb, just like those spotless lambs that were being offered every Passover in Jerusalem. Jesus was without blemish. He was the virgin-born Son of God. Now listen, God's holiness and justice demanded a blood sacrifice in payment for sins. And the only sacrifice God would accept was a sinless one. This is a requirement that no child of Adam's ruined race could ever meet, because the Bible tells us in Adam all die. He is not only the spotless Lamb of God, but he is the slain Lamb of God. John the Baptist and his followers did not yet know that Jesus was headed for the cross. But from the earliest days of the Savior's ministry, the cross began to cast its huge shadow over his life. That's why he came. He came to die. He came that he might die for you and for me. And so I rejoice in that this morning, that somebody loves me that much that he was willing to take my place. I deserved death. I deserved the cross. I deserved hell. But praise God, he took my place and your place in order that he might redeem us and that he might set us free. Well, Jesus came to die, to give himself as a ransom, if you will, for the sins of all the world. Some 700 years before he came, the prophet Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the next verse, he said, "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Now, Jesus knew his purpose for coming, did he not? He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus Christ knew why he came, and as hard as it was, he was willing to go all the way to the cross. You see, Jesus was man, but he was also God. Jesus Christ, when he prayed in the garden, the flesh cried out, "Lord, if there's any other way, let it happen. Lord, if there's any other way that we can bring about the redemption of mankind except me going through this cruel punishment and becoming sin for mankind, Lord, if there's any other way, let it happen." The Bible tells us that he was in such intense agony that the blood was forced out of the capillaries into the sweat glands and great drops of blood fell to the ground. What a battle he faced and fought that day. But then he goes on and he continues in his prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He knew why he came. He knew that there was no other way. Jesus Christ was willing to go all the way to the cross. It was at the ninth hour. It was 3:00 in the afternoon, the exact time that the lambs in Egypt were to be slain. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain on Golgotha's hill. And some would say, "Well, is that a coincidence?" Oh, no. Oh, no. You see, God sent his Son to fulfill Old Testament types and prophecy to the least and the most minute of details in order that we might know that he is the Son of God. You see, the little lambs down in Egypt were symbolic of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of all the world. The question is asked, was it really necessary? Was it really necessary that Jesus shed his life blood on that old rugged cross? And the answer is yes. Hebrews 9:22 makes it quite clear. He says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." Without the shedding of blood. Brethren, sometimes they call us and say, "Well, you preach a bloody gospel." I say, praise the Lord, yes we do. I believe in the blood. That's the only way that a person can be set free. Without the shedding of blood. He tells us that the blood of animals could never take away our sins. The Old Testament sacrificial system was simply this: that each year the high priest would go in with the blood of the lamb without spot or blemish into the Holy of Holy. He would go beyond the veil. He was the only one qualified. But he would go and he would make sacrifice for the sins of all the people, and they would be rolled up for a year. And they kept on rolling up and rolling up, and there was a mass of sins. But when Jesus came, he paid the price for all of their sins. You see, no blood from an animal could ever remove sin. Only the blood of the crucified lamb. Or what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not only was Jesus Christ the spotless Lamb of God and the slain Lamb of God, he is also the shared Lamb of God. You see, the roasting of the lamb back in Egypt spoke of Jesus, God's Lamb, enduring the fires of God's wrath for us. In going to the cross, he experienced the agonies of hell. You see, sometimes folks don't really realize the price that was paid by Jesus for us. You see, he did for us what we could not afford to do. Jesus Christ went to the cross. They beat him. They scourged him. They drove those nails in his hands and his feet. They ridiculed him. They spat upon him. They did everything that they could to dishonor and disgrace him. Oh, he could have come down. He could have called for a legion of angels, and he was omnipotent. He should have come down at any point. But the reason that he did not is because that he loved us. He was held there by his love for us. Well, the sharing of this roasted lamb among the family members, and in some cases members of other families, surely speaks of our responsibility to the sharing of our own faith. What the world needs this morning more than anything else is Jesus Christ. We know that. But you know, we have a tendency sometimes just to come to church and sit back and enjoy the services, go home, and we forget what we're commissioned to do. God commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and you start right where you are. So most certainly the Lamb of God needs to be shared to a lost and dying world. And Jesus Christ was also the silent Lamb of God. Over and over, the Bible records the silence of God's Lamb in the presence of his accusers. The prophet Isaiah spake of it when he said he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. The Jewish high priest Caiaphas, amidst the many accusations, said to him, "Answerest thou nothing? Are you not going to defend yourself? Are you not going to say anything in your behalf? What is it that these witness against thee? They have said all these things against you, and you're not even going to say a word." The Bible said, but Jesus held his peace. He could have complained, but he did not. He could have made such a powerful and irrefutable argument, making his own defense so strong that no governor, no high priest, or no legal authority would be able to refute him. They accused Jesus of blasphemy, of lying and sedition, but the Savior answered not a word. This is the amazing silence of the Lamb. In other words, if Jesus had taken up his own defense with the intention of refuting his accusers and proving his innocence, he would have won, but in the process, we would have lost. You see, Jesus knew why he came. He was not going to try and save his life. He came to give his life. He was not going to try and save his blood. He came to shed his blood. He came in order to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Well, finally, Jesus Christ was the substitutionary Lamb of God. You see, he took our place in suffering and death. The song says it well. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, he took my place. God's crucified Lamb was sinless, but I wasn't. So he died in my place. He died once that I might live forever. Isn't that good news? You know, when you face death and you know that it's just around the corner, you don't worry knowing there is a better place on the other side. And when I stand before God in judgment, I dare not stand in my own righteousness.
because my righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. I will stand in his righteousness. His imputed righteousness that was put on my account that day when I accepted him as my personal Savior. I'm glad this morning for his righteousness. In the book of Revelations, John has a vision of that which is to come. And he sees the Lamb of God before a vast number. Of angels and elders. In unison, they all cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And the Bible ends with these words, "I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb or its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives light to it, and the Lamb is its lamp. Nothing impure will enter into that city, nor will anyone who does that which is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life." This is the all-important story of redemption. There's no other way. There's no other way to get to heaven except through the blood of the crucified Lamb. May we all behold the Lamb. May we all do what John did and point others to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of all the world. I would ask you this morning, what about your sin? Has it been taken away? You know, truth of the matter is, we don't know when we're leaving here. You may not make it home. But you've got time this morning. And I'm not trying to scare somebody into doing something they don't want to do. But I'm here to tell you, you have no handle on your life. It's given to you breath by breath, second by second. And God holds your life in his hands. For the Christian, death doesn't bring fear. Because we know that he's provided for us. And when you breathe that last breath, and I preach this all my life, he's there. He will take you safe over that chilly river of death. You don't have to go by yourself. I hope if you're not ready, that God will help you to see the wisdom and that he'll give you the strength that you'll step out and come to the altar and let's kneel and pray and turn your life over to him. When it's all said and done, that's the only thing that counts. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the sweetness of your presence. Lord, we thank you that you're here today. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and offer our worship and our praise to you, and we pray that it will be acceptable. But I pray, God, that your word will not return unto you void, but may it bring forth the fruit of repentance. Lord, may it cause those that are not ready to meet you, those that may be walking a guilty distance from you, or those that have never been saved, Lord, I pray that you will help them to step out and come this morning on bended knees with this pastor, and we'll pray together, and they'll accept you as Lord and Savior of their life. Have your way, dear Lord, in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.